In this second chapter of James the Apostle, James himself has been showing us something very critical, the very nature of what saving faith is. James has been teaching us here that true saving faith is something that ought to be visible, something that should be seen by those around us. He says in verse number 18, the second part of the verse, I will show thee my faith by my works. I will show thee my faith by my works. In other words, if a man or woman is really saved, and that saving faith is living and real, it ought to be evidenced in the way in which we live. And that's what the second part of James chapter 2 has been seeking to teach us week after week. And James has been warning us of the danger of having what he calls a dead faith. Verse number 17, faith if it hath not works is dead. Verse number 20, faith without works is dead. Verse 26 again, faith without works is dead. And he tells us that there is such a thing as having a faith which is dead. All words and no works. And then in verse number 19, he warns us of the danger of demon faith. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. But the devils also believe and tremble. And as we thought about the faith of devils or the faith of demons, we notice that it is an affecting faith that causes them to tremble. We realize that it's an existent faith. There's no demon that is an atheist or an agnostic. We realize as well that it's an intellectual faith. It's also an orthodox faith, but it was an unfruitful faith. And James has been warning us about these two aspects of faith that cannot really save. And so he then goes on to illustrate the point he is making. And he cites two examples from the Old Testament. One concerning the patriarch Abraham, and the other example, the prostitute Rahab. People that had faith in God, but their faith was seen. Their faith was evidenced in what they did and also in how they lived. They were very different people. Lived in different times, had very different backgrounds, very different reputations before they were saved, and yet they were both saved by faith, and both of them lived lives of obedience which declared or showed forth that they really had a true and living faith. Now, we often speak in our church circles about justification by faith, and rightly so. The book of Romans deals much with this subject. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justification by faith is a vital doctrine. But we hear very, very little about justification of faith. And by that phrase, justification of faith, I'm speaking about vindicating our faith. Being able to prove that our faith is real, justifying our faith before the world, or showing by how we live that there are grounds on which to believe that our faith is real, genuine, living, and saving faith. Can I ask you this morning, before we bring our first point, can your faith be justified? Are there grounds on which to conclude that your faith is genuine? Can your faith be vindicated in the way in which you live? Can your faith essentially be proven and concluded to be real? Well, how do we know that Abraham had real, genuine, saving faith? How do we know that Abraham's faith wasn't just a dead faith, a faith that was expressed with the lips but wasn't seen in the life? How can we conclude that Abraham had more than demon faith, more than just believing that there was one God, more than just making a mental assent to the fundamentals of the faith? What was it about Abraham's faith that was different? How was Abraham's faith justified in the sight of men. Three things that I want to say this morning about Abraham's faith and Abraham's justification. And the first thing, very simply, is this: the means of Abraham's justification. The question is asked in the book of Job: how shall man, sinful man, be just before God? And that is the one question that religions in this world try to answer. How can man be brought before God and counted as right in the sight of God? How can a sinful man have a right standing before an almighty God? Well, we see here in James chapter number 2 and verse number 23 that Abraham was justified by faith. Look at what it says in verse number 23. Abraham believed God. There's faith. And it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Justification is something that is very, very important whenever we come to the Christian faith. The Shorter Catechism says, justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein he pardoneth all of our sins, and accepteth us as righteous in his sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. So there are two sides of justification. There's what we might say is the negative side. God forgives all of our sins, cancels out as a thick cloud all our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. He removes our transgressions from us. And then there's the positive side, that he also accepts us or declares us as righteous in his sight. And he does that by imputing or charging to our accounts the righteousness of his own dear Son. Jeremiah 23:6, the Lord our righteousness. Now you could look at something through red glass. Everything appears to be red. You could lift a piece of stained blue glass. Look through that. Everything appears to be blue. Or a piece of purple glass or orange glass. And whenever God looks at us, his people, and he sees us in Christ, he looks at us and he sees us through the pure, white holiness and righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's how he views us. That's how he sees us. He sees us in Christ. And we are counted and declared righteous in Christ. Justification is a cardinal doctrine. Whenever Martin Luther was a young monk studying doctrine and theology within the Roman Catholic system, he had no peace of heart. And then his eyes lit on a verse of Scripture. The just shall live by faith. And it was that statement that sparked a revolution, not only in the heart of Martin Luther, but with many brothers of like thinking within the Roman Catholic faith. And indeed, right across Europe, there were many men that discovered this truth. Justification comes through faith, and through faith alone. Now, there are many issues within Christianity that are secondary. But there are certain issues within Christianity that are fundamental. That is to say, if you don't believe them, you can't be saved. I don't believe a person can be saved unless they believe in the deity of Christ. I don't believe a person can be saved unless they believe in the infallibility of the Bible. I don't believe a person can be saved unless they believe in the atoning work of Christ and the glorious resurrection of Christ and in the necessity of the new birth. And likewise, the doctrine of justification is a key doctrine. It's the one thing or one of the things that differentiates the true from the false. And it remains to be one of the primary reasons why, as evangelical Christians and evangelical Protestants, we cannot have and do not have fellowship with the Roman Catholic Church or fellowship with those within the ecumenical movement who don't believe that this doctrine is important. Because this is all to do with how our sins are forgiven. This has got all to do with how we are counted or declared righteous before God. And the Scripture makes it abundantly clear that a man is justified by grace on the merits of Christ's blood and through faith and faith alone. Romans 3:24 says we're justified by grace. Romans 5:9 says we're justified by blood. Romans 5:1 tells us we're justified through faith. And it's only by faith. The Scripture says it is not of works, lest any man should boast. And the Scripture here in James chapter 2 and verse 23 is very clear that Abraham was declared or counted righteous before God through faith. He believed God. And on that account, God declared him righteous, counted him righteous, or imputed righteousness or put righteousness on his account. And the book of Romans chapter 4 is very clear about this as well, that Abraham, an Old Testament saint, was justified by faith. Romans 4:3, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Verse 5, but to him that worketh not but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Read Romans chapter 4. Read Galatians chapter 3. And it's abundantly clear that Abraham was not brought into a right standing because of his works, his morality, his efforts. He was brought to faith in God by an act of faith itself, trusting God and believing what God has said. So Abraham, the father of the faithful in the Old Testament, was justified by faith. And we are justified by faith as well. Old Testament saints, New Testament saints, were justified in exactly the same manner. They were justified, declared righteous, by faith and by faith alone. And if you haven't exercised faith, and if you haven't believed the gospel, and you haven't trusted in Jesus Christ, his person and the fullness of his work, his redemptive work by his death upon the cross and his glorious resurrection, without faith you'll never be justified before Almighty God. The means of Abraham's justification, very simply, he believed God, he was justified by faith. Then the second thing, the moment of Abraham's justification, when was Abraham justified? When was Abraham declared righteous? Well, James chapter 2 and verse number 23, Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, is not a reference to Genesis 22, where he offered up Isaac. James chapter 2 verse 23 is a direct quotation from Genesis chapter 15 and verse number 6. Where it quite simply says the same thing, that Abraham believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. Abraham was justified in a moment of time. As soon as God spoke to Abraham, and Abraham heard the word of God, and Abraham by faith believed in that God that had spoken to him, in a moment of time, Abraham was instantly and directly justified and counted righteous before God. Abraham's willingness to obey God in Genesis chapter 22 did not commence his justification. It did not improve his justification. It did not further his justification. It did not complete his justification. Abraham was a justified man long before Genesis 22. He was justified, the Bible says, by faith. Now, Roman Catholic theology, and I'm not here to blast or to undermine Roman Catholic people. We need to love them. and we need to live with them. And we need to love them as our neighbors, as we love ourselves. But whenever it comes to the teaching of whether it's the Roman Catholic Church or the Orthodox churches or the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witnesses or any group that professes to be Christian, if they go wrong in the doctrine of justification, there's no salvation to be found within that system. Now, the Roman Catholic Church teaches that there are certain steps which lead to a person's justification. And if one of these steps is missing, you can't be justified. It begins with actual grace. It moves on to faith, which leads on to good works, and which leads on to baptism and the sacraments. And you've got this whole system of steps, like stepping up a ladder. And the more steps you go up, the closer you are to being declared as just and as righteous in God's sight. Let me quote from the Council of Trent, one of their most concise statements of theology and doctrine. The Roman Catholic Church teaches, if anyone says that the faith which justifies is nothing else but trust in the divine mercy, which pardons sins because of Christ, or that it is that trust alone by which we are justified, let him be anathema. And what they're doing there, they're taking the doctrine of justification by faith alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone, and they're saying, if you believe that, and you believe that simple childlike faith in Jesus Christ is enough to have your sins forgiven, you're cursed. You're anathema. They go on to say, if anyone says that the sinner is justified by faith alone, meaning thereby that no other cooperation is required for him to obtain the grace of justification, let him be anathema. Then they go on to say, when the apostle says that a person is justified by faith and as a gift, those words are to be understood in the sense which the perennial consent of the Catholic Church has maintained and expressed. Namely, that we are said to be justified by faith because faith is the first stage of human salvation, the foundation and root of all righteousness, without which it is impossible to please God and to come to the fellowship of his children. Yes, there's faith, but that's only the first step. There's more that leads on, the Roman Catholic Church teaches, to our justification. But whenever we read about Abraham and the teaching of the Bible, we conclude that justification is an act. It takes place in a moment of time. It's all of grace, and it is something that is done in the legal sense. Abraham was counted or declared righteous. It's like a court scene, and the judge stands up, and the man's brought into the dock, and the judge makes a declaration. This man is pardoned. This man is declared righteous. Therefore, this man goes free. And the judge of all the earth, God himself, declares sinners righteous as he sees them in Christ. And justification is complete, and it is done once for all, and it is received by faith without works. Before you paid bills and stuff over the internet, you used to go in maybe to the electrical shop or the post office or some other place, maybe paying your car tax. And you go up and you write out your check. You hand your check over. The check gets stamped. And you're given a receipt. And if there's any question as to whether the bill or the debt has been settled, you can produce the receipt. And you can go back to the teller and say, this receipt declares and says that the price and the debt has been paid. And so it is with the debt of my sin. My Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ, went to the cross. And we say it reverently, the cross was God's desk for the payment of sin. And Christ paid the debt of sin by the currency of his own blood. And he rose again for my justification. And Christ's glorious resurrection is like a receipt. And so whenever my sin is called into question, I can look heavenward and I can point to my blessed Redeemer and I can say that at the right hand of the Majesty on High, the God-man Christ Jesus lives and reigns and rules and presents the merits of His atoning blood, declaring to God that all of my sin has been paid. And God would be unjust to ask for that sin to be atoned for more than once. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Abraham was justified by faith. Abraham was justified fully, completely, once for all, in a moment of time. But then if you look at James chapter 2, verse number 21, we have what I'm calling the manifestation of Abraham's justification. Verse 23, we've been saying that Abraham was justified by faith. And then it says in verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works? And you say, well, there's a clear contradiction there. One verse says he was justified by works. The other verse tells us that he was justified by faith. But folks, this morning, this is what James is trying to be telling us all along. He has been telling us that saving faith is a faith that works, a faith that results in works. The two statements, justified by faith, justified by works, are not contradictory, but they're complementary. James is telling us here, Abraham was justified by faith. But that justification was declared before men and seen before men in the way that Abraham lived. In the life that he lived. In how he lived and how he behaved in a life of obedience. And folks, that's exactly what the Reformers taught. Our Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 11, the chapter on justification. The second section of the chapter, it says, faith thus receiving on resting on Christ and His righteousness is the alone instrument of justification. Yet, it is not alone in the person justified, but is ever accompanied with all other saving graces and is no dead faith, but worketh by love. Abraham was justified before God by faith. But his faith was justified before men and before the world by works. People could hear Abraham whenever he says, I'm a believer. I believe in God. I'm saved. My sins are forgiven. I'm counted righteous. They could hear him say that. And whenever we stand before the world and we take our place as Christians and we say that we're saved and we say our sins are forgiven and we say we're going to heaven, the world can hear that. But the world ought to be able to see it by our lives, by our actions, by our works, not just hear it by our words. You see, Abraham's faith here was not a dead faith. It was not a faith in word only. It wasn't a demon faith. It wasn't just an intellectual faith. But it was a true saving faith that embraced Christ and was living and led to a revolutionary change in his life. How can you tell if a person is saved? How can you tell if a person is justified just by what they say? Lots of people can say they're Christians. I can say I'm a Christian. I can say whatever I like. I could tell you, as I said a few weeks ago, I could tell you that I'm a kangaroo. I might believe it myself. But unless I show the nature and the characteristics and the actions of a kangaroo, you'll say you're not a kangaroo. Your head's cut. And somebody can say they're saved and they're forgiven and they're on their way to heaven. But if their life contradicts everything that they're saying, are they really justified? I was talking to a friend the other day and he'd been at the gym last Sunday in the morning. Now, he doesn't profess to be a Christian, but he knows the gospel. And he was saying to me, there's a fella in the gym the other day, Sunday morning, and he was just spouting to everybody about they needed to be saved. And I said to him, well, would he not have been better going to his church and telling you that at some other time? And he says, well, I went home and I told my partner the same thing, and that's exactly what she said. Able to tell everybody else they need to be saved, but he's just doing the same things that the world's doing on a Sunday morning like everybody else. You see, justification should be seen. Before God, Abraham's righteousness was declared. But before men, Abraham's righteousness was demonstrated. And Abraham's saving faith was tested. Is this a living faith that Abraham has? And it says in verse number 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? It's a reference to Genesis 22. God said to Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. Enter into the land of Moriah. Offer him there upon one of the mountains that I will tell thee of. And immediately, Abraham got up early the next morning, saddled his ass, took Isaac and the wood and the fire, and off they go to the land of Moriah. And it was the hardest thing that Abraham in his life had ever been called to do. And he had to act in faith. And he was showing to those around him that this faith that I profess, that procures for me this righteousness and secures it for me, I embrace it by faith, it's the same faith that leads on to a life of obedience. My mother got me a book at Christmas by A.W. Tozer, a devotional book. And just a week ago, I read these words, the 15th of February. When our faith becomes obedience to the Savior, then is it true faith indeed. For it is one thing to say, Lord, Lord, and quite another thing to obey the Lord's commandments. Note that this faith and this incident in Mount Moriah was a foreshadowing of Calvary. Here you have a father. Here you have a son. They're ascending a hillside. They're going to an altar. They're going to a place of sacrifice. That son is going to be offered upon an altar of wood. And the father's going to be the one who bruises the son. Just as God the Father led his son into this world to go to a hill, to lay down his life upon a cross, and to be smitten of God and afflicted. All of Abraham's hopes lay in the body of Isaac. God had promised to make of him a great nation. And yet we're told in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 that by faith Abraham offered up Isaac. And he believed that even from the ashes of that burnt sacrifice, if it was God's will, that God could raise up Isaac again. Because in that seed, in Isaac, should the nation of Israel be called. And Abraham is believing not only in God's person, but in God's purposes and also in God's promises. His actions on the mountain there at Moriah, they demonstrated his faith. See how it says in James 2:18, I will show thee my faith by my works. Abraham was not saved by obeying God's difficult commandment in Genesis 22, but Abraham was showing by his obedience that he was already saved. And it's the saved man that delights in the commandments of the Lord. Saving faith obeys God and demonstrates its own reality. Abraham was not saying, I do these things in order that I might be justified. He was saying, I do these things because I am justified. I do these things because I believe already and I believe God. Abraham's faith was brought out into the open. And as this amazing act of obedience was performed, people could look on and say, you know, Abraham's got a faith that's real. It's not lips only. It's a faith that's living, a faith that's real, a faith that's obedient, a faith that loves God. His faith was the energizing factor in his life. It wasn't a slavish fear. It wasn't trying to earn merit before God. It was a faith that embraced God and believed God, and not only just believed the promises of God regarding forgiveness in heaven, but a faith that believed all of the promises of God in between. The Apostle Paul's faith was demonstrated by his works. Joseph of Arimathea was a believer, but secretly for fear of the Jews. But whenever he took the body of Christ off the cross and wrapped it in myrrh and aloe and spices, along with Nicodemus, who was also a secret disciple, and they together at the hardest possible time to identify with Christ, went to the cross, took down that body that was marred more than any man's body, covered in blood, bruised and battered, and they identified with it and they buried it in the tomb. Their faith was being justified. They were showing, we really believe here. It's not just lip service, but it's heart, obedience, it's love. You know, Titus, and we're almost finished, Titus speaks about these two types of faith. Abraham was the antithesis of the faith that Paul speaks of in Titus chapter 1, verse 16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. Now, Abraham professed that he knew God, but in works he was honoring Him. He was the antithesis of that faith that Paul spoke of in Titus 1:16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. But then Titus chapter 3 speaks about this other type of faith. This is a faithful saying, Titus 3:8, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto all men. Justified before God by faith. But that faith is justified before the world and before men by works. It's like somebody once said, don't tell me you're a Christian. Show me you're a Christian. And there's a sense in which the question shouldn't be needed to be asked at all. Somebody says, is that person a Christian? Is that man, is that woman, are they saved? It should be evident that they're saved by the way that they lived. It says that Abraham, in the light of all these things, was called the friend of God. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's Calvary, and Calvary covers it all. But then he goes on to say, ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Justified by faith. But is your faith justified before men? The justification of Abraham's faith.